superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
So many question marks about this team right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How come every single time it seems they're nearing the red zone, Zeke's out, Pollard's in? Pollard was running on first and second, and then number 21 was coming out on third down. Where the hell was Zeke? $90 million?
Settle down just a little bit.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Clemson head coach Dabo Sweeney. Coming up, 9-time Pro Bowler DeMarcus Ware, co-creator of Netflix's Big Mouth, Nick Kroll, plus co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's solid, perfect, TJ Jefferson. Well done. Well, nice putt right there to kick us off for hour number two. DeMarcus Ware is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes time. I haven't spoken to D-Ware in quite some time, but I'm used to talking to Dallas Cowboy greats every single day whenever I think of game day morning, or talk to Michael Irvin, or talk to him every single Sunday. And I hold him personally responsible for everything that's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, who are heading to Cincinnati. Deep down in the Week 14 marquee, deep down in the Week 14 marquee, that you've got the Steelers and the Bills and the Dolphins and the Chiefs, and you've got the Bucks and the Vikings, and you've got the Browns and the Ravens, and you've got the Colts and the Raiders, right? Then you've got, even further down from all that, Andy Dalton's revenge game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Here we go. To try and bring the Dallas Cowboys to 4-9. The exact reverse numbers of the DeMarcus Ware jersey that is draped on TJ Jefferson's social media grandmaster position on our punting surface.
One of my all-time favorites right here, man.
We talked to D-Ware last October.
It's been a while.
So
it's over a year since we've talked. I remember when we first started on NFL Network, and DeMarcus Ware was a fixture. I mean, just a great personality and a huge player as well. And we had O.C. Umenyora on the program. Remember O.C.? From the Giants when they were winning, you know, a Super Bowl. Two Super Bowls. O.C. was right there on that defensive line with Michael Strahan. And I introduced him, O.C., once on NFL Total Access as the best player in the history of Troy football. And it totally slipped my mind that DeMarcus Ware went to Troy, and he was so pissed. And when I fired up Cowboys Cam on Total Access, he went right at me, and I called him that, and then O.C. Umenyora was like, what the hell gives? That's how far back I go with DeMarcus Ware. And he'll join us on this program. His Denver Broncos take on the Carolina Panthers. Now then, Chris Brockman.
Yes, sir, Rich Eisen.
It is the first day of Hanukkah tonight.
Oh.
First night of Hanukkah tonight.
Congrats.
You know, the Jews start the night before. Tonight's the first night.
What do you say? Just happy Hanukkah?
Yes.
Thank you. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The reason why I bring this up to you, a non-Jew, is because
Gentile.
The story of Hanukkah is something we've been talking about for weeks. For weeks. The story of Hanukkah. About the amount of oil that was only supposed to last one day. Mm. Just one.
It's a 50-gallon
drum. It's one of the lessons I've been to Hebrew school. Let me look it up.
It's a 50-gallon drum now, Rich.
The eight-day celebration commemorates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, where, according to the legend, Jews had risen up against their Greek-Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean Revolt. Now, I bring this all up thanks to my friends at Wikipedia. That's still have shortchanged Bob Costas 7 of his Emmys.
And he's mad.
What a segment that was yesterday. I bring all this up because the miracle of Hanukkah, where there was only enough oil during this moment to last supposedly for one day, lasted 8. And Mike Davis of the Carolina Panthers, I've made the turn. Carolina's Mike Davis. I've called the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football because his fantasy value has been burning bright way past the expected date of expiration. Way past. I mean, it was just week two when Christian McCaffrey turned his ankle and he still scored a touchdown a few plays later and figuring it can't be that bad. And then all of a sudden he's put on injured reserve. And the IR is just 3 games, and that lasted 6 games. Then he comes back, and he plays 1 game, but gets hurt in that. Misses some more games. Now he's coming off a bye week, and the ankle injury that he overcame, only to hurt his shoulder, and the shoulder's fine. Chris Brockman, do you have a Mike Davis fantasy value update here as we have finally reached the actual holiday of Hanukkah? Chris, you have the floor.
Rich, Christian McCaffrey, we know, did not practice yesterday because new injury, tweaked a quad. Well,
he was limited yesterday. Limited.
Limited with this new injury. You
know, correct.
Dealing with the shoulder, but new quad. Christian McCaffrey?
Yes.
No sign of Christian McCaffrey at Panthers practice today.
DNP did not practice in the media portion of the practice.
Absolutely.
Not seen at all.
Not seen.
We talking about practice.
First day of Hanukkah. Is it possible that Mike Davis's fantasy oil continues to burn for those who have picked him up and have enjoyed his fantasy value way past the expected date of expiration? And again, I could be using the Cinderella analogy that the coach is turning back into a pumpkin, but no. You know
it's
where I'm coming from.
It's a Festivus miracle!
Thank you. It's, to use the Seinfeld expression, it's like Kramer and his car dealer running out of gas. In the test drive, and it still goes. He's not practiced today at all, huh, Chris?
He did not practice
today.
Oh,
boy.
And if he doesn't go tomorrow, he will be a true game-time decision.
This reeks of game-time decision. It is an early window game for all those who have waited for Christian McCaffrey. If you have been fortunate enough to make your fantasy playoffs, despite Christian McCaffrey playing in just 3 football games this year, correct, Chris?
Yeah, he's only played 3 times.
Week 1, week 2, and then when they played against Kansas City, almost won that game because he's so damn dynamite.
Yeah, he had like 35 points.
Week 1, week 2, week 9, that's it. If you are so fortunate to have made your fantasy playoffs anyway, at least it's an early game. Or if you are somebody who thought he was definitely going to play in the final 4 weeks of the regular season, 3 of which are your fantasy playoffs, and trade away Aaron Jones to prepare for this moment. Whew. Like, say, TJ Jefferson.
Why would you do such a thing?
That game time decision is, to use the Bill Pito phrase, dicey. Oh, my gosh.
Can't believe it.
I believe it.
Now,
because I did it.
you want to talk about dicey situations. You made your fantasy playoffs, right, Chris?
I did.
In your schmecky league with 11 other schmohawks, right?
Or not 13.
13 other schmohawks. 14 team league.
Yeah.
Honestly, for those who might be new to this audience, it is the worst fantasy football league
ever. Come on. It's not bad.
Ever. It's a 14-team keeper league.
14-team keeper.
And at least the keeper league is important to note because their draft has no time limits on how long it takes. to draft. And I'll just tell you just how outrageous that actually is. Because I point out all the time when you go through this is that you're a grown man, mm-hmm. okay?
Yep.
And there are other grown men in this league.
Yep.
And there are things to do. There are things that you have to do. And you cannot just shirk responsibilities as a man in this world, as a spouse, as a dad, to do this endeavor when you're waiting for somebody to take how long to draft Brian Hartline?
28 minutes. To take Brian Hartline.
That's the ultimate. I keep bringing that up over and over again.
John O. Smith, half hour this year.
Oh. Are you serious?
Yeah, same guy.
The same guy.
Same guy.
He's who trolling. Took 28 minutes to once upon a time draft Brian Hartline, took a half an hour to draft John O. Smith.
Yeah.
I've met him. He's from Staten Island.
He's from Staten Island. He's been here.
I would literally, and I'm a lover, not a fighter. I would fight him. I would fight him.
Don't
but your point
fight,
is as well is that pre-pandemic you would make a weekend out
right,
of it.
Right, right, right.
That you would go and fly to the Super Bowl,
the city of the team that wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's cool.
And that's pretty cool.
It's cool. Like this year, we're ready to go to Kansas City. But
right,
obviously.
But even that, I would prefer to actually explore the sights and sounds and tastes of Kansas City rather than sit in somebody's hotel room waiting for some asshat, and I say that respectfully.
Good use of the word asshat, Rich. Yeah, yeah.
To take a half an hour to draft John O. Smith.
Yeah.
But the ultimate is about how insane it is to have a fantasy league with no time limits. I just chaperoned, as you know, the basketball fantasy draft for Xander with his fellow sixth graders. 11 and 12-year-old.
Xander's in sixth grade.
11 and 12-year-olds on the Zoom. 90 seconds to choose. The 11 and 12-year-olds were harassing their colleagues and comrades.
They're taking too long?
Yes! Now, for them, there might be some TikToks and Roblox that they want to get to.
Sure, sure,
because they're having screen time at night and want to actually sneak this one past the goalies here. And the parents, oh, I was just on the Zoom with my friends. Even they, 11 and 12-year-olds, think 60 seconds is too long to choose a player in a fantasy draft.
They've got shorter attention spans.
But I bring all of this up is that you have made your playoffs.
Yeah, so I'm the 3 seed, even though I had the overall point title. But I closed the year losing 4-5.
Okay.
It's all good.
And Antonio Gibson's down.
I know. Antonio Gibson was one of my great draft picks this year, and he is not playing.
And so you are in his stead because your league is bone dry.
Bone dry on the waiver wire.
You picked up who?
So I have Chris Carson as my other running back.
Good for
you. Battled injuries this year, and Antonio Gibson. But in Gibson's place, I think I'm going to start Ty Johnson of your New York Jets.
Oh, my God.
Rich, after Gore went out last week, 22 touches, over 100 yards, got in the end zone, was involved in the passing game, ran 14 routes,
I know,
only got two balls, but very involved in the offense.
I know, and we're all looking for bright spots here for the Jets, who are, if you will, keepers in the ultimate keeper league of the National Football League, to see who can who can join the flowing locked Trevor Lawrence, who last hour, if you missed the Dabo Swinney conversation, I actually used real estate to ask him, how's Trevor? Trevor's doing great, by the way.
As you should.
But
it's got some speed.
I saw it.
And you saw what
yes.
Wayne Gallman was able to do against that Seattle defense.
Yes.
I feel like Ty could duplicate that.
Right, right. You are aware this is for the head coach that has had this guy nailed to the bench all year long, continuing to run Frank Gore instead. Who has no future with the team.
Right.
Who has a future in the Hall of Fame, and I know you and I go back and forth on that.
I am aware.
He doesn't deserve it. And you do realize that coach has decided to also not play LaMichael Perine to keep Frank Gore going. Like, it would just be, hey, you know what? He's a Hall of Famer. He's just got a few games left. I'm going to give him some run. He deserves it. He's a leader of this team. I'm going to give him some run against
Seattle.
And Frank Gore comes back and gets all the carries, and you watch this 100-yard rusher sit there on the bench while the Jets fall to 0-13 against Seattle, which is going to boat race them on the other side of the ball to the point where they'll just abandon the run game. You're going to really put your playoff fantasy hopes in the hands of the Jets.
We are a full point PPR, so maybe in a blowout, Ty Johnson's out there, catches 5-6 balls, gets me to 10 points. That's all I'm hoping for. All I'm hoping for.
Oh, too salute. I feel for you.
I did it a few years ago. I rolled the dice with an unknown Jets wide receiver, Robbie Anderson, helped carry me to a title.
Okay.
Just saying.
I know. Well, Robbie Anderson, as you know, the Jets let go. I'm telling you, this regime is not to be trusted right now. Why not Peyton Barber? Why not go with the guy who's going to...
He was already on someone's team.
Oh, I thought you said he was available even in your...
He wasn't.
Wow.
I could start Malcolm Brown tonight.
That's not a bad choice. You could roulette wheel. Dice. But are you one of you're one of those crazy ass people that you don't want to use anybody on a Thursday?
I hate playing people on Thursday. Hate it.
But what if you? That means you could bank 20-something points. Oh boy, Rich Eisen Show listeners and viewers, we now have a new thing to watch on Thursday Night Football tonight. How's Malcolm Brown going to do? And then keep your eye on Ty Johnson on Sunday, and think of Chris Brockman and light a candle like it's Hanukkah.
Yeah. Well, I will live tweet my thoughts tonight if Malcolm Brown gets in the end zone.
Just never know. You just never know. It's actually the battle of the two teams with the running backs you can't figure out.
I have no idea.
Fantasy-related running backs, right?
I'm toying with the idea of starting the Patriots defense.
What, because Gunnar Olszewski ran back in the building?
Well, and Goff, you know, Goff does turn the ball over more than most.
The diciness of fantasy football.
It's the worst.
The playoffs.
I hate it.
Oh, baby.
But I want to win so bad.
I honestly do have to sit there when I lose a fantasy game. And I feel this way right now because I've been picking games on a game day morning. I've been all over the map, and it's so tough. In the pandemic, did you know road teams went 10-4 last week before the Tuesday night game?
Yeah.
So the road teams went 10-5 last week.
Jeez.
Because there's no fans in the stands.
There's all these 10-point
teams that are down by 10 that win, like, say, the Lions, who have never done it. They just did it.
Right.
So it's tough to pick games, and I understand that. But others are doing better than me. And I have to really sit there, and when I think about it, and when I'm losing a fantasy game, or I think I'm about to lose a fantasy game, I really have to sit there and think about, okay, my children are healthy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I go through this weird self-affirmation. Like, I need to be like Stuart Smalley, like, look in the mirror. And I know I'm making a 20-year pop culture Saturday Night Live reference, but, you know, I'm smart enough.
Gosh darn it, people like it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like, I think about, okay, in March, April, when I'm living my life and I'm doing the show and I'm with you guys and I'm with my family and... You know, I won't be thinking about my fantasy football.
No,
so why am
not.
I feeling so horrible about it right now?
A couple weeks ago, I lost by 2 points, and I could see the whole loss coming. And I went to bed angry. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to bed. She's like, you're going to bed? I'm going to bed. I was too mad.
You barked at Sarah over fantasy?
No, but I was, I curse and yell and like throw pillows. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just want to win.
Oh, well, you got about it. You should get out of that habit right now before your son actually realizes what you're doing.
Well, he already has my personality. I can already tell.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
See, he's already broken an exit sign in your house with a basketball because the rec league didn't work out well.
He's like trying to pull himself up now. And like He'll fall back down. He'll go, ugh! He'll get so mad. I'm like, easy,
there you go.
Easy, bro.
He's a Brockman.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. DeMarcus Ware is going to join us. What's this photograph with chains over? Oh, is this? That's from the NBC show at The Rock, right?
Yeah, his workout.
Okay, very good. DeMarcus Ware, when we come back.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Steelers-Bills, Sunday Night Football, 7 Eastern time is when Mike Tirico takes things over and gets you ready for kickoff with Chris Collinsworth and Baseball Hall of Famer now, broadcaster Al Michaels. Steelers and Bills on Sunday Night Football on NBC. 1-3. Pittsburgh off its first loss of the season. Bills off of what I thought was Josh Allen's best performance of his career, in full command of the field against the San Francisco 49ers in Arizona, where they could have had flashbacks to the Hail Mary and didn't. They absolutely dominated that football game. And if they do it to the Steelers, they have a chance to go get the Steelers. They can catch them. They can run them down, potentially, before the end of the season, certainly with that tiebreak. And the Steelers need it if you think that the Chiefs are going to go into Miami and do what they've done to virtually the rest of the league, which is come up with big plays and win the football game. So, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. As I mentioned earlier in the day, I've known this guy for quite some time. And every single week on NFL Game Day morning, I talk to Michael Irvin. And he's a Cowboy great who I hold fully responsible for the Dallas Cowboys. And so, with that, I welcome to the show once again DeMarcus Ware. How are you, DeMarcus?
Hey, Rich, man. How you doing? It's good chatting with you again.
It's great to talk to you. So, before we get to your app where you're driven to win and how you're keeping people fit through your app, can you make that available to the Cowboys defense, do you think?
Hey, I tell you what, something needs to happen because from the beginning of the season all the way until now, they really haven't showed up, to be honest with you. I go back and think about when Dak was there and, you know, a couple of the guys were still not hurt, they were scoring 38 points. They're scoring, you know, 36 points. They were still losing games, but they were scoring enough points. But the defense was still faltering and giving up a lot of rushing yards, giving up a lot of plays. And I just go back and start thinking to myself, like, what will cause a defense to be just so bad? And I go back to leadership in the off season, which they didn't have. So you can, you know, get your mantra, your what you need to sort of carry you through the season when you start getting that C on your chest and who's going to be accountable. That's not there. If I ask you a question and said, Rich, who's the leaders on the team right now? There's no answer. I can't even find an answer.
Well, I mean, and that's the issue. I guess I might say, but I'm not there. Just in terms of past years, obviously Dak would have been one, but Jalen Smith and there are talented players on this defense. And I'm just wondering what you thought of, because I know what I thought of, and I'm not a 9-time Pro Bowler heading to the Hall of Fame like you, on the defensive side of the ball. But what was it like watching them have zero discipline on keeping either an eye on the ball or whatever gaps they needed to maintain for going against an offense whose quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who I adore, giving an honest answer to a simple question I gave a few weeks ago, asking him why things looked a little different, more difficult on offense this year, him saying most of the defenses they're playing were calling out the plays before he ran them. So here's an offense that many other teams are figuring out or you can call predictable. And they had an extra 4 days to prepare for him because of the delays of the game, and they still gave up 300 yards rushing. What were you thinking
watching this? 300 yards rushing. We're not even adding in, you know, the passing yards. So I always, when I was a captain and when I played, when people make mistakes, that comes with not wanting to. That's like the want to. That's the character that's instilled in, you know, some of the players. They're like that. But when you start getting to a point to where you're creating or not creating, but there's a lot of mistakes that are made on defense to where, you know, you're going against a zone team, you got a running quarterback, they're going to have some extravagant plays. You know, you have to, if you're a defensive end, you have to play cutback, boot, reverse, those types of things, and then you don't do that, that becomes not a effort thing or the coach coaching deal, because you know what you're supposed to do, but it's like a want to. Like, do those guys actually want to be out there right now playing with each other? Are they actually having that team spirit to where they are all together? Or is everybody with DeMarcus Lawrence? Is everybody with the Jalen Smith? Is in the Leighton Vander Esch's? Is that whole defense together a really cohesive unit? That's the question I ask myself. Or that's, if I was a captain, that's what I would ask the whole defense right now. Are we a cohesive unit? Do you actually trust me to be out there on the football field with you?
What do you think Jerry Jones is thinking?
I know from being in meeting after meeting with Jerry Jones, once it gets to this point, there's going to be so many changes that are made from a player standpoint, and he's going to really evaluate the scheme compared to what players are there to be able to do it. Because let's say you have a 4-3 team, and now you got a 3-4 hybrid type defense that you're running, and guys are making mistakes. Does it come down to now personnel? Do you have the right personnel? Because if you're playing 3-4, you got to have a big beast, a big anchor in the middle to be able to hold up two guys to where the Alden Smith, the DeMarcus Lawrences, the Randy Gregorys can actually rush the passer. You got to have good man-to-man cover corners because now you're rushing five. So it just depends on, you know, like I said, I know Jerry's going to make a lot of decisions this offseason, a lot of changes that people aren't going to like, but he's going to get that star shining back again.
Well, DeMarcus, we're here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's got to start with getting Dak back in the fold, right? I mean,
yeah.
What would you do on that front, DeMarcus? What would you do?
As an owner, you know, for me, I know that, let's say if you franchise a player twice, and then on that third year, you work into a contract and he gets hurt. So now it's like, okay, well, you got to do the right thing as a owner for your team and also for the player, because you have a relationship with him. So I would, you know, let him get very, very healthy, see how good he is when he comes back. Hopefully he comes back 100%, which I know he will. Okay, you know, put him in the starting position and, you know, pay the guy. But if he comes back, and let's just say he's not who he was when he played, I would still pay him some money because, you know, he was with us for this time. But now it's like I also got to groom another kid that's going to be coming in here that's going to actually be potential starter. I mean, I would do that. I would have to do that, but also cross my I's and dot all the T's that I can to let Dak know that, listen, I'm with you. And I actually have a heart, too. I understand this business, but I got a heart, too.
Right, especially since I don't know if the timing, I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, in all honesty, depending on free agency, depending on franchise tag decisions, and on, I'm going to be deadly honest here, the vaccine, you know, if you're going to be able to get people back on a field, right, and practice
right,
and have OTAs
right.
and things of that nature, that you're going to have to maybe make that decision sight unseen and hope that, you know, you're seeing within your own division, you looking up at a team that swept you partially because Alex Smith is balling out. And we thought he might not even walk again. That guy had 17 surgeries.
Wow.
And he has this division in his sights while Dallas is sitting in last place. And that's the other thing, too, is we're talking about the Cowboys defense being the issue and Dak and what's the question as well. While watching this team, are you surprised at how often Zeke is coming off the field, DeMarcus?
I'm really surprised on, you know, I think when you have the bell cow out there, she wants to, like you said, they want to feed Zeke. But I haven't seen that in a very, very long time to where now the third and fourth quarter, you know, you get those big running backs that just crush defenses, right? They eat the clock up. They start, you know, they keep the chains going. I haven't seen that. So, and then I'm starting to see a lot more Pollard in there. I don't know what's going on. And, you know, just throwing the football. Now, I know that Andy Dalton's in there. It's a new offensive quarterback in there. But guess what? That's why you give the ball to Zeke, to make the quarterback comfortable.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know why, because now if you're a leader of the team, you know, you had Dak, you had Zeke. Now you put the team on your back, like you said you always would do, and you run that football, control the clock, and then let the defense go out there fully rested and create some plays for you.
Yeah, I'm watching the Giants run Wayne Gallman for 135 yards, and then you want to talk about bell cows. Obviously, there's Derrick Henry, there's Dalvin Cook, there's Nick Chubb, who has been crushing it, and he had he missed 4 weeks due to an injury. And I'm just wondering, where is 21? Why are they not feeding him 25, 30 times a game? Like, literally, even if it's not there in the first quarter and a half, just start wearing people down. I mean, certainly if the other team is running it up the gut, and you could clearly see there's some gap responsibility issues on the other side of the ball on Tuesday night. I mean, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm seeing it with my own two eyes. Mike McCarthy's, you know, forgotten more football than I know. Mike Nolan is a guy who's been coordinating defenses and is a defensive-minded coach for decades. I'm wondering, like, 21's the answer, and it outruns 20. And I know he's talented, but he's not, you know, he's not making $90 million, DeMarcus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just put the price tag on it. When you said $90 million, and when you have a running back that's not out there 100% of the time, I tell you what, when they paid me $78 million, I was out there 94 plays out of 100, maybe six plays off. But it's one of those things where are we using Zeke the right way? You know, just I there's so many things that I'm trying to put my finger on about this season. Like, it's almost like a whirlwind, 2020, COVID, pandemic. Like, the pandemic hit Dallas. It hit the Dallas Cowboys. And now how can they come out of it from being sick? They're sick right now. And they end the season healthy, now going into the next season with a really good mentality, and now recouping, getting the character that needs to be gotten during the offseason, during the OTAs and training camps, that it can carry them through the season. You know, correct all the mistakes that they made this offseason. And what changes are going to be made? I'm ready to see.
DeMarcus Ware here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we talk about your app, who would be your defensive player of the year right now? J.J. Watt pounded the table on Twitter, and rightfully so, for his brother T.J. And you've got number 99, who we're going to see try and track down Cam tonight for the Rams. Just two of them. Myles Garrett was in the mix, but he did miss a couple of weeks due to COVID-19. I'm wondering who you have looked at this year and thought that's the defensive player of the year, DeMarcus.
I go back into, you know, I look at T.J. Watt and what he's done, and usually the MVPs are on teams that are winning. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how productive you are, because I remember when I had 20 sacks, when I had 19 and a half sacks 1 year, it didn't matter. You know, because also that when your team's winning, that goes into leadership, that goes into team camaraderie, it goes into a whole team thing, right? Whole team player. So with Aaron Donald, if I say that there was a single player between T.J. Watt and Aaron Donald who would win that, I would say Aaron Donald all day, right? But his team isn't doing as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So usually the last thing that I see is probably the last person that I pick. So let's just say that now, you know, T.J. Watt, they're in the Super Bowl. And it's him and Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's not in the Super Bowl. But T.J. Watt is in the Super Bowl. So I'm probably going to pick T.J. Watt because his team went further. That means, in my head, that they had a better team. And so I would pick a T.J. Watt at the time when you're talking about MVP, if you're talking about all-around categories that I just talked about.
Yeah, through 16 weeks of a season, I guess. So if you're saying the Steelers have a better record than the Rams, that's who you're taking.
Yeah, that's who I'm taking, because that's who I'm going to see in the postseason. And if we're going numbers for numbers, just like, hey, who's a better athlete? I would say Aaron Donald all day. Aaron Donald is the defensive MVP if we're just going off of that. But when you start talking about MVP, MVP means championships in my book. So I would say T.J. Watt.
Let's talk about Driven to Win. So you got an app here, huh?
Dude, I've been working on this app for the last 3.5 years.
I know you have. Right.
All the content in it. I put an enhanced experience in there with 3D models, augmented reality, artificial intelligence. So, you know, I've been working with computers all my life. You know that from working with the network with you.
Yep.
Always with the software stuff. So now being able to implement that outside of football, affect people in the fitness realm and giving them an experience where you can actually prop your phone up and put a real augmented reality figure right where you are at home or in the gym, and it'll tell you what exercises to do, how to do it. It'll give you your warm-ups and activations specifically for you. You'll be different compared to me. Let's say if you was a beginner, I'm going to stick you in a beginner category because you're really fit, and I'm going to put me in an advanced category because I'm not fit. So
I heard that. But please keep going. Use my show's time to promote your app, DeMarcus. Go for it. I heard that. Sorry. The floor is still yours. Man, Go for it.
It's just great knowing that, you know, you can do it. It's for anybody. I also put professional athletes in there, too, like specific driven sections in there.
Yes.
With, like, Von Miller and Leighton Vander Esch and Tyron Smith, to where now you can use an augmented reality figure, put it in your space as you, if you're a kid from college or an NFL or if you're a high schooler. But also there's interviews with Von. There's workouts with Von in there, too, as well, adding on top of that.
Download the Driven to Win app in the App Store on your mobile device and visit driven to win.com for more information. And, you know, just like education, the best apps or I guess workout apps are to meet where somebody is. So if you are right, fully advanced, there is something for you there. It's not just one size fits all. And if you're somebody that looks like a beginner but runs like a champion.
Like you?
Yes, DeMarcus, you said it. I didn't. There's something in it for everybody.
And then the thing is, once you download the app, it actually is going to get you ready for your 40-yard dash for the combine.
Okay.
So that's going to be great, and I can't wait to see you run that.
Yeah, neither can I. I hope we get to do it this year with a whole full combine. It looks great. I mean, we just put, while you were going through everything, some screen grabs and what it looks like. You clearly have given a ton of thought to it. 3D visualization, augmented reality features, customized 3D avatar-led training alongside you. I mean, it's pretty cool, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much, man. It was hard work, and I'm glad that now I'm able to, you know, give it to the masses. And now my new locker room is a weight room where I can really just motivate people through fitness and live, you know, healthier lives.
I love it. Let's do this again. Because again, I love your insights. Your insights are phenomenal. You're excellent at this. You were one of our best analysts on NFL Network for quite some time, and I hope you do want to get back into that end of the business too.
Yes, I do.
Now that your app is kind of situated, you know, because this is what you deserve. As you're going to the Hall of Fame, and you got a great app, and this is what I expect out of the greatest player in the history of Troy football, to do this sort of thing. DeMarcus.
Thank you so much. I like that. Troy football. OC is going to like that.
Who's that? Who's OC? I don't know who you're referring to.
OC over your.
I don't know. I didn't know he went to Troy, DeMarcus. I don't know what you're.
Oh, he's going to get you for that.
Well, I'll have to find me because I'll certainly be faster after using Driven to Win use your new app.
God.
How's that one for you?
Oh, man. You got me.
Good to chat with you, DeMarcus. Be well, you and your family, and have a healthy and safe holiday season. We'll chat soon.
All right, you take care. Thanks.
You got that's DeMarcus Ware right there. God, I love him. Rod Woodson told me this story. I think it was Rod. I think he was, this might have been because he was associated with John Fox, his buddy Foxy. Mm-hmm. I'll tell the story that, you know, Von Miller was Von Miller, dominant, top defensive player selected in the draft and dominant. But he needed some coaching up from a peer about how to handle your business day in, day out, practice in, practice out, snap in, snap out.
How to become a professional.
Correct. And DeMarcus was the guy who did that. Mm-hmm. And the story goes that Von would text him like 12:30, 1 in the morning. Like, I want to be great. This is what I want to do. And DeMarcus's response was, what are you doing up so late? Go to sleep. Like, that is the story that Rod told me. And part of the greatness that you see of Von Miller, who won Super Bowl 50 MVP on the same line as DeMarcus Ware, is because of DeMarcus Ware. In part. Obviously, Von has got the innate wonderful gifts.
But some people need to be someone to show
everybody,
them the way, right?
I think everybody
does. Everybody
does,
yeah.
Everybody does. Everybody needs it. You know, and so I love that guy. And he's going to the Hall of Fame. I don't want to hear another two words about it. That's a 9-time Pro Bowler, and he knows about Defensive Player of the Year. He was that in 2008. And I just love how you can casually say, when I had 20 sacks, I had 19 and a half sacks. I mean, just, and it doesn't sound like he's
super
talking
casual
about himself. You know what I mean? Like, he really is just a good dude.
He was legit my favorite Cowboy for six, seven years.
As well he should be.
Yeah.
As well he should be.
Big fan of D-Ware.
Let's take a break. News out of the NBA. We'll hit that. Get ready for Nick Kroll and Michael Holly in hour number three and a Chris Brockman news update. That's still a roll here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. That's some pretty big NBA news right here, man. We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it in a second. Nick Kroll is going to join us as well on the program. His show, Big Mouth, Season 4, available for streaming on Netflix. It was released last week. This guy cracks me up. Nick Kroll is as funny as they come. So we'll be chatting with Nick Kroll in hour number three and Michael Holly and Chris Brockman. You got a news update all planned right there. We got some news in the NBA that I want to hit to first. Still no sign of Christian McCaffrey in practice for Carolina. Still no sign.
No sign.
Ooh, boy. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, TJ Jefferson, but...
I'm strong at running back, so I think I can...
Okay. Well, I mean, you lasted long enough.
Yeah.
Very good. Lasted long enough without him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a matter of seconds here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on our radio broadcast. So... I thought his performance in the playoffs was highly disappointing, and it's tough for me to say that because I know he had mentioned how depressed he was, and I'm very keen on the subject of mental health and mental awareness, and the bubble affected him. And I know many people thought that that was an excuse for Paul George, and he did ball out on certain occasions in the playoffs, playoff P. I know the NBA on TNT guys were kind of having their fun saying you can't play like that and call yourself playoff P. But the real disappointment was after the Clippers got bounced after being up 3-1 again, shy of making the Western Conference Finals again, and not just any Western Conference Finals, but one in which we knew it was going to match up Clippers with the Lakers, as we thought pre-pandemic the entire season it was going to be when they unveiled the Clippers to match LeBron and Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and his hand-picked right-hand man, Paul George. And I was just profoundly disappointed when I heard him say after losing that this wasn't the year anyway. That they had no time to really gel because of what happened in the pandemic, even though they were cooped up together in the bubble, to get enough chemistry together to actually perform as expected, as hoped, at least make the Western Conference Finals, instead of having yet another disaster occur to this franchise And I just thought to myself that that was so lack of self-awareness that if I was in charge, it would give me pause about his thoughts and his ability and his readiness to be the player that we need him to be with Kawhi in this short window of time that we have. I mean, it was just 2 years for him and Kawhi, essentially, that they would give us in the Clippers of full-on contractual control. And to say this first year, that's it anyway, and Doc Rivers leaves and all of that, I would hit the pause button and say, what is that all about? I was just so disappointed to hear that. Well, I guess either the Clippers didn't need to go through all this, or the change with Ty Lue would be enough for ownership to feel that Paul George was the guy and he could be reached or he could be coached and playoff P would be worthy of buying into even more. They've done it. Woj bombing out moments ago that Paul George has signed the max with the Clippers. 5 years, guaranteed up $226 million. I know Steve Ballmer has more money than most people, but even people with more money than most people doesn't usually risk burning up $226 million of their dollars. So they must feel very confident, or that this is the way to get Kawhi to do the same. And that Kawhi's about to do the same. And that, way, listen, we know year one, it was that bad. Didn't work out. Some teams weren't affected adversely by the bubble. Some teams were. Mm-hmm. Our guy was. The whole team was. In the middle of all this, let's not forget, there was a whole conversation about stopping the season entirely because of what was going on in the world of social justice. And the Clippers were one of those teams. You could basically say, that was that. Now let's build with these two guys moving forward. And Ty Lue is the different voice in the room, even though he was a voice in the room anyway last year as an assistant. That, I think, is essentially what we're talking about right here. And this one, I can't say I'm surprised, because if you have a player of significant talent and a certain caliber, you got to build them together. And if your guy, who is the ultimate elite player in Kawhi, still feels that this playoff P is the guy I need to go into battle with, then sign him and hope for the best and build around him. What do you think? You're the Clipper fan here.
I mean,
did I kind of hit all the touch points here? Or?
I don't think I can really add much more to what you said. Though.
But I'm not emotionally invested.
Yeah, you know,
as someone emotionally invested,
when you give up all of your first round draft picks, like I said this a few weeks ago, the class that's in sixth grade right now, when they graduate high school, the following year is when we're going to have a first round draft pick, I believe. So you gave up a lot to get Paul George. And before the bubble, Clippers were rolling, right? So, like I said before, I'm willing to kind of check 2020 off as a loss in all different types of ways. And let's just see how it works moving forward.
Don't you think this means Kawhi's got to sign?
I'm hoping that.
That should be the next move.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not, then why did you do this? Right?
Well, because you need at least him if Kawhi's going.
Yeah. So I'm saying I believe.
But is he a guy? I mean, look, I mean.
Can you win?
We were so stunned when Indiana's like sent him to Oklahoma City, and then it was working with him there. And then he decided to stay. He and Russell Westbrook are lighting up cigars the night that he decides to stay there instead of being the one to say, I'll join LeBron.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting there going, really? Okay. And then a year later, he's the one that tells management, yeah, Kawhi and I have been talking, and I want to go to the Clippers and make the best deal possible. And could you imagine? I mean, honestly. So now he's here. And is that the guy that you want to build your entire team around? Kawhi better sign.
He has to. He has to. And like I said, it was the best case scenario. If he doesn't sign that, then we're really, like, screwed.
You have to figure that this is a two-step process, right? I don't know,
I think
man.
So.
And then
I
when the hell is Giannis making his decision?
Exactly. All my Bucks fans' friends are freaking out about it.
Understandable.
They made all these moves. They gave up all these picks. And your guy, to get him to stay, and he still hasn't said, okay, I'm staying.
What's he thinking about? You could sign a piece of paper.
Boom. 240.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
in your
more
account.
Than what Paul George has just signed for. And you could sign that piece of paper, and if you say no because I can still make enough and I could still make enough elsewhere, again, I'm in management, I'm thinking, we got to get him out of here. We got to get him out of here now, and we got to build around Jrue Holiday, or at least we traded a whole bunch of stuff for, and let's start from scratch and figure out how it goes. Or you send Aaron Rodgers to call up Giannis, you know, superstar to superstar.
So here's what you're
in your management team to basically tell Giannis, like,
yeah.
How about I'll bring a pen over to your house. What do you think?
So here's what Giannis said yesterday. So he has until December 21st to sign this deal. He said, I'm not focused on it. I know my agent and Bucks ownership are focusing on those discussions. I'm trying to focus on myself, how I can get better, how I can help my teammates get better, how we can be ready Saturday to play our first preseason game.
And my answer to that, if I'm the Bucks, is like, okay, if you're into personal enrichment, how about the actual dollars we can do that?
$228 million Super Bowl.
If you're all about enriching yourself, like, you know, figuratively, how about, you know, literally?
You know, I know this is different.
Right? Again, he doesn't believe it, right? I mean, at what point do you look at the writing on the wall and say that what you have done is clearly not enough? Because what are they going to be able to do between now and the 21st to show him that it is enough? And then you talk to all the NBA insiders are like, he doesn't have to really do it. He could just do it for 1 year and just ride this year out. He's under contract. Just ride the year out.
Right.
But again, doesn't he have to sign? Like, now's the time he can get the Supermax. He can't get that next year, right?
No, this is the time.
This is apparently it.
Oh, he can't get it next year.
I don't know. Or he can. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I need to read up about this a little bit more.
He celebrated his birthday over the weekend, and he did it with, like, a light team workout. Chris Middleton came in and gave him a pen for his birthday present.
And, you know,
sign the contract. Take the pen.
Take the pen.
Take the pen.
He went Del Boca Vista on him,
he
huh?
He did. Jack Klompas.
Astronauts use this pen.
Chris.
He writes upside down.
Take the pen. And then Giannis's dad says to him, you took the pen. He didn't want you to take the pen. So.
And he bought a Cadillac. It was really weird.
No, we've had Windhorse came on the show and says if he doesn't sign the Supermax now, they should basically clause from the collective bargaining agreement because it was put in place exactly for this franchise, a franchise like this and a player like this for that franchise.
It'll be interesting to see what Holly has to say about that.
Okay. Sure, he's look at you setting up hour three over there. Fascinating to me. Just a fascinating conversation. What's going to happen between now and the 21st to make this guy put his name on a piece of paper like that? Harden? Right? Harden happens. He's doing it.
You would think.
Harden happens. Then it's basically everyone with a Euro step is on the same team.
Ginobili's going to come out of retirement.
There will be no traveling in Milwaukee, by the way. Like, everybody can just walk to the rim from the three-point line. Or nice. stepping back from the three-point line to half court. Okay, we'll take a break. Your phone call is at 844-204-RICH, hour three. Nick Kroll, the very funny Nick Kroll, and Michael Holly in the news update coming up. I don't think I'm overreacting. Right?
What's he waiting for? Some of these quotes he had from yesterday are really weird.
What do you mean weird?
Just like, you know, I think about everything. I think about Milwaukee. I think about my teammates. I think about my family. I think what's the best decision for me. I love Milwaukee. I love the organization. I love my family. I love winning. At the end of the day, I wouldn't be in this situation if I wasn't working hard. I wasn't winning games. I wasn't improving every day. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
But you haven't done the one big thing that proves you want to be there.
I don't know. I think it could also be how old is he? 25?
26.
26? Just a 26-year-old human being.
That's a big decision.
I know, who just needs to make a choice here. And just give him his time. Now, to me, you know, again, I was 26 when I got to ESPN. If they had given me a Supermax contract similar to that, I'd have signed it on the spot.
Of course.
Because I'm not going anywhere.
You were disgruntled, Rich, you could just force an out to Fox Sports.
No, I'm serious. Because I'd be like, Bristol's not my first choice, but this place is. So I'm signing. But they didn't offer me a Supermax. They offered me the Super Door.
Strange. And his money.
Hour 3 coming up.
Hey, this is JJ French. Through 5 decades in the music industry, having sold over 20 million records, performed over 9,000 shows, and receiving 37 gold and platinum albums as a musician, manager, and record producer, I'm also an author, motivational speaker, marathon runner, inductee into the Long Island Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, guitar collector, and a founding member of a little band you may have heard of called Twisted Sister. Now I'm ready to share the secrets of my survival in one of the most vicious and predatory businesses on earth, the music business. In my new podcast, The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond, on Podcast One. Get ready to hear real inside stories from me and my famous guests as they tell you how it's really done, not just in the music industry either. I guarantee that you will always learn something unexpected from successful survivors from many walks of life. That's the Beyond part that I'm so excited about. Don't miss The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond with me, JJ French, Tuesdays on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.